changed it. He redeemed it. He rescued it. He healed it. He delivered it. He fixed it. Malachi chapter 4, these are the very last words of the Old Testament. And they're a prophetic declaration of what would soon happen in the new covenant with Christ. Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful or fearful day of the Lord. Most scholars believe that that prophecy was fulfilled in the life of John the Baptist. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. So the Lord said, I'm going to change fathers' hearts, and I'm going to break family curses. I'm going to heal children's hearts and reattach them to their fathers. And I'm going to heal fathers' hearts and reattach them to their children. Inside of every person, there is a hole that only a father's love can fill. Every person that's ever lived. And what happens, Satan so hates mankind, he so hates the human race. And as he's studied in his strategic adversity to God's purpose, he says that the most destruction I can bring to earth or to a person's life is to hurt their fathers. Because hurt people hurt people. So Satan hurts a father. When he hurts a father, he hurts a home. When he hurts a home, he hurts the church. When a church hurts, cities hurt. When cities hurt, states hurt. When states hurt, the country hurts. So God, when God heals a father, God heals a home. When a home is healed, a church can be healed. When a church is healed, a city can be healed. When a city is healed, a state can be healed. When a state's healed, a nation can be healed. So we're living in a father's heart revival. And what a blessing it is to see the hundreds of fathers that are at church today. You are the evidence of the prophecy of Malachi that God's after men. And even though Satan's tried to kill you, you can hardly talk to a man today that doesn't have dramatic testimony about things that tried to take them out, things that should have taken them out, accidents or addictions or trips and traps. There are more things after men to destroy them now than any time in history. All you got to do is turn on your computer and you can watch pornography. Everything is warring against men, and men are under siege, but God says, it's okay. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to turn their hearts around. There's a story in 1 Samuel. It's a story of the defeat of Israel, the loss, the losing of the Ark of the Covenant, and the killing of the priest Eli, his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, die. But Phinehas' wife, verse 20, is about to give birth, and they're trying to encourage her. You're going to have a son, but she would not be encouraged. She named her son, verse 21, Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the Ark has been captured because of her father-in-law and husband. So in one day, every man in her life was gone. Where have all the fathers gone? So the glory of God is always absent whenever fathers aren't present. So Pastor, what's God doing now? God's refathering the church. If you'd ask me what an apostle is, the church planters like Ray is, they're all those things. But more than any other thing, an apostle is a father that has learned to represent Father God and now is bearing fruit. Of course, my apostle, Ivernia, is here, my spiritual mother. Now, please get this. Many of you women, many of you young people have been in fatherless environments. I applaud you. I celebrate. You are a champion. When you can work through all the stuff that's missing because a man was either physically absent or emotionally absent, I applaud you. You are a champion of God. But that doesn't mean that God says, we will continue having fatherless generations forever. God's after men. He's fixed. God's going to rescue a generation of men. Psalm 68 is the war cry of Moses. This was what Moses, as he's leading thousands of men into direct conflict with the enemies of Israel, coming out of Egypt, this is the words he would say: let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And the Ark of the Covenant would be at the forefront of that. And then God contrasts. He says, as smoke is driven away, so drive them away. There's no substance to smoke. Now please get this. In contrast to the glory of God, the power and life of God, the enemy has no substance. As wax melts before fire, so let the wicked perish in the presence of the Lord. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Exalt him who rides upon the clouds by his name Yahweh, and rejoice before him. Now let's get down. This is how God arises. A father of the fatherless. In Jesus' name, I declare over your life that you're not going to feel abandoned and rejected one day longer if you've been fighting the long fight of being a fatherless person. Welcome to the family of God. We have a father whose love, whose power supersedes the failure of men. A father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, not just women who've lost husband in death, but women who've been abandoned, is God in his holy habitation. God says to totalitarian family, God says, whoever walked out of your family, I'm going to walk in. There's a closeness to God to fatherless people. Get ready. If the devil wiped out your family, it's because God has a tremendous destiny that he will reveal by healing your life. The Lord said to me many years ago when I began the ministry, I began a kind of frantic search for spiritual fathers, and I asked men until I couldn't take no anymore. I asked people to father me. And the Lord said to me one day this sentence: I'm going to make you someday, I'm going to make you be what you've never received. I'm going to make you be something you've never received. It's very interesting. The Lord cares about us. He cares about men. He cares about women. He cares about sons and daughters. So God, New Testament begins, Old Testament ends, and Jesus steps on the stage and says, let's talk about God. So 100 times, every time Jesus addresses God, he doesn't call him Yahweh Shema, Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh Tiskanu, the Old Testament compounds of name El Shaddai, El Rohai. He does none of that stuff. There's 100 names of God in the Old Testament, all descriptions of his activities, that he would manifest a new part of his person, a name would describe that. So Jesus said, forget all that. Here's who God is, your father. And every time Jesus talked about God, he says, Father. Not about the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Not about the God the creator, God the magnificent, God the all-powerful, almighty. No, he's still all those things are still on his business card. But to you and I, he's a father. Father. So when the devil corrupts our natural experience with spiritual or natural fathers, many people have a hard to see. Everybody sings about Jesus, nobody sings about Father. Because it's hard for people to translate a heavenly Father when they've been affected by the trauma of earthly men. But we are in a Father's heart revival. Jesus taking us by the hand, saying, come on, I want you to get closer to Papa. So in the New Testament, something happens dramatically. Romans 8, in your notes, verse 14, as many as are led, Greek word, tug. It means to tug an animal gently, to nudge by the Spirit of God. These are the sons and daughters. It's not just for men. Generic for all the children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage or slavery to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're God's children. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So, okay, this is so important. So when we think about adoption, my pastor, Dr. Kennedy, went to Ukraine and adopted a little girl, I think 17, 16 years ago. She's 18, she's about to go to college. She's awesome. Allie, she's 6 foot tall. She towers over her father. And just a wonderful girl. She'd been in her crib for 2 years. She had never been out of her crib. And she was 2 years old. And she came into a loving family and has blossomed into an awesome person. So that's how we think about adoption. We go to the orphanage and we find someone in foster care. We adopt them. But that's not what this word means. So this word, sonship, the spirit of adoption, the idea of adoption. So just turn the back page of your notes and we'll look at it. Look at the last thing. The three major events in the life of a Hebrew boy. Number one, he's 8 days old. Hebrew boys are circumcised. Amen. Thank God it happens when you're 8 and you can't remember anything. So circumcision was a sign of the covenant. It began with Abraham. So it was a sign of the covenant. It represented blood, all kinds of things. So when he was circumcised, he became a covenant man. So when we came to Christ, by the blood of Christ, by the circumcision of the cross, we were born again. You're all now covenant men and women. Amen. The Bible says, I'll give you a new heart. I won't try to fix the Adamic heart. I'm just going to put my heart in you. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. I want to make you new from the inside out. So that's what happens at 8 years old. Then at 12, around 12 years old, another important event would happen in a male Hebrew child, the bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah means an acceptable son. So it's where Hebrew tradition teaches that a child becomes accountable to keep the laws of God, and then that son would join his father's business as an apprentice. So Jesus is 12 years old. He stays in the temple. His family leaves. They lose him. They come back frantically. Why did you do this? And Jesus said, I must be about my father's business. It's time for my apprenticeship. So beginning at 12 then, he learns the family business. He's mentored by his father. But that's not the last of the three things that happen. Huiosasia is the next word, and that's the spirit of adoption. We just read it in Greek. This is the Greek word from Romans 8. It means adoption ceremony. It means son placement. And it indicates the time that he, the son, becomes mature, usually around 30 years old. I think I was prophesying over my own life. At this time, his father would place his hand on the head of his son and say, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I bestow upon him all my riches, power, and authority so he might act on my behalf in all my affairs. This is when the father turns his business over to his son. Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, comes up, the heavens are rent open, and God says, Huiothesia, it's all yours. I give you the power, the authority, and the resources to represent my interests, son. Go get them. They're in the garden, they're walking with God in paradise in the Garden of Eden, and every afternoon in the cool of the day, the father would come and walk with his son and daughter, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, the Bible says, and God said over them, God blessed them. Said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. So God, who we have to see, said to Adam and Eve, I give you authority on earth to represent my interests. Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. If you bind it here, it's bound there. If you loose it here, it's loose there. The church understands salvation, circumcision. The church even understands discipleship, that we're learning the Father's business. Ah, but the church doesn't really understand who we ought to see. When God says, you're my son, go change the world. You're my loved son. Everything I have is yours. Go rock the world. Last scripture. You still with me today? Luke 15. It's a parable of the prodigal son. Prodigal son's lost. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare when I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. The most devastating consequence of sin is lost identity. He went out a son and came back a slave. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. What? Jesus said, this is how God feels about you. He ran off the hill. He saw this disheveled, he saw this diminished, this malnourished figure with all kinds of worn, dirty clothes, his hair matted and ratted. He's lost weight. His head is down. But he said, that's my son. I know my children. And he raced down the mountain. He scooped up his son and on each cheek just smothered him in kisses. And the son's trying to spit out his religious garbage. I'm not worthy to be a son. Just make me a slave. The father doesn't even respond. Because when we pray stupid stuff, God still loves us. He just doesn't listen to us. I'm so unworthy. Stop it. Stop it. If you're so unworthy, I wouldn't have given my son for you. So the father says to his servant, go get the best robe. I'm going to robe him with a new identity. I'm going to fix what sin did to him. And so the father's determined to robe us with the family garments, righteousness. And then he said, go get my ring of authority, because once you discover your identity, you uncover your authority. And whatever it was like the signature ring, so it was the family emblem of authority. And then go get new sandals, because when you discover your identity and release your authority, it unlocks the doors of your destiny. New feet, new shoes. And go kill the fatted calf, because prosperity is God giving you enough resource to pay for your purpose. So all that happens, and they're having a celebration. Woo, party, baby. Thank God 100 people a week come to Christ at CFTN. We're having an ongoing, unbroken party. Beginning in July, from July, first Sunday of July to the last Sunday of September, we're going to baptize 1,000 people in water. So my staff has talked me down. I'm no longer trying to build a Olympic-sized swimming pool at the church. We're just going to get a portable baptismal and put it different places and baptize people. There's more than one way to... Is it skin a cat? That is like... What a grotesque picture that is. So, but the story didn't end there. There's a party going on, and the older son, verse 27, is in the field, and he came to your house. He heard the music and dancing. He said, hey, what's going on? He said, your brother's come home, and your father's celebrating. See, when you can't celebrate someone else's victory, it's because you have an orphan heart. When you can't celebrate someone else's, But he was angry and would not go in. So now the roles, the guy that was out is in, and the guy that was in is out. Watch what's going to happen next. Shifting set. Therefore the father came out to him, this loving father loved both of his sons. And he went out and pleaded with the son. And the son said, "Lo, Father, I've been with you this many years and served you. I've never transgressed your commandments." That's an exaggeration. That's a religious, pharisaical, self-righteous exaggeration. But what he said, "But you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this, your son, the son of yours, who's devoured your livelihood with harlots." Well, the church is so good about recognizing the sins of the flesh and so bad about recognizing the sins of the spirit. Thank you, brother. "You killed the fatted calf for him." And he said, "Son, you're always with me." Next sentence. "All that I have is yours." I pray today for those who have been silently frustrated. You've been living good. And nothing's happened. Their breakthrough hasn't happened. You're watching people come in and seemingly have breakthroughs. And, you know, 6 months ago they were on heroin. And now they're driving a Cadillac. And start, "No, God's so good." You're looking at them going, "Huh? I've been saved 43 and a half years." And what happened was, somehow, even though he lived in the house, he never understood the father of the house. And the father's perplexed. "Son, this is all yours." If we ever get this, it's all ours. The Bible's filled with 8,000 promises. This is yours, that's yours, this is your debt. It's all yours. Healing, redemption, blessing, prosperity, salvation. It's all yours. And God says, "It's time for the huiasasia. I'm going to lay my hands on you. And I'm going to declare over you how much I love you. I'm going to declare over you how beloved you are to me. You're my son. You're my daughters. And I'm going to tell you that everything I have is yours. All my resources are yours. And the sons of God, generic, are going to arise. Not because God does something new. It's because we'll finally get what he's already done. Huiasasia. Papa, lay your hands on the head of every person here. These are your sons and your daughters. I pray for the healing of every hurting man. You raised me up, God, out of ashes more than once. Heal fathers here. Heal mothers here. Heal sons and daughters here. And I declare over your life that on this Father's Day in 2014, that God tells you how beloved you are. And he says to you, "It's your time to enter into a new phase of your walk with me, where I release you to be who you've always been meant to be. I release you to change the world, you history makers and world shakers. You princes, you princesses of God, you royal priesthood. I take authority in Jesus' name over every trauma and wound that a natural or spiritual father ever gave you. And I say to you that God is a father of the fatherless. And that the love of God fills every void in your heart that anyone, father or mother, or anyone else has created. God, I thank you. The whole world's waiting for the huiasasia, the manifestations of the sons of God. And all the while, you've said we could have it anytime we wanted. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet, please? Altar team, would you join me at the altar? It's nearly impossible to be good fathers without being good sons. And what happens inside of us when we start calling God our Father, He awakens inside of us the spirit of who we also see, the spirit of adoption, of the placing of the mantle of authority on a son to fulfill his life's destiny. All that I have is yours. I pray for every person who's been discouraged by things not happening, silently frustrated. Man, does that want to come out of me? I pray today that God overwhelms you with His love until that frustration melts away like wax before fire. It is enough to be loved by God. So just lift your hands if you don't mind. I declare over all of you, you are God's beloved sons and daughters in whom He is well pleased. In Jesus' name, I declare over you that the Father God bestows upon you all of His resources, riches, power, and authority, so that you might act on behalf of the Father in all of your affairs. I declare a summer of miracles, not because God suddenly is in tune to a miraculous moment, but because we get it, that something's ready to emerge in the earth. We are a generation that God has marked to represent Him in a way the world's not yet seen. Thank you, God. Come on, just tell Him, thank you, Papa. Thank you, God. Our hearts cry, Daddy God, Abba Father. You see, Aramaic for Daddy, Daddy God. Hebrew, Daddy God, Daddy God, Daddy God. We love you, Daddy. We love you, Father God. How good you are. How kind and patient, loving in all your ways. Thank you. I pray for every father here. Father, just put your hand in your heart, would you, for a minute? I pray for the healing of every father here from anything that's there. Doesn't matter who caused it, when it came. I pray God heals you every place you hurt. If there's been disagreement with your children, I pray that God heals your heart. It's never too late for a father to bless his children. It's never too late for children to ask for a father's blessing. And if your natural father can't or won't give it to you, your heavenly Father will, better. But if your natural father, even if they've broken your heart, even if things have fallen apart, bless your family. Bless them. Watch what happens. Watch how the garden grows when it's watered by the Father's love. Watch what happens. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sing it with me. I love you. We're going to sing it. Father, I love you.
I love you.
Come on, just tell Him today. Father, I love you.
Father, I love you.
Beautiful. I love you.
Yes, I love you.
Because you first love me.
Because you first love me.
Beautiful. Ah, beautiful moment. Tell Him, I love you, Father. Yes, I love you. Father,
Father, I love you. Yes, I love you. Because you first loved me.
The Bible says, do not err, beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there's not even a shadow of character flaw. If it's not good, it's not God. He loves you. We're closing this service. I'm going to ask for anyone that needs prayer. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never known the Father's love, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. The Bible says, God the Father so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever would believe in Him would have eternal life and not perish. If you've never known Jesus, we want to pray for you. This is your day to arise like the sun in the story. Let us pray for you. I feel like the Lord has opened up some hearts today. If you feel like the Lord's really ministering to you and tampering with your heart, then come down, let us pray for you. If you need a physical healing, we had a woman in the first service today, had a brain tumor in 2008, and they said you'll be dead in 6 months, and here it is, 2014, testifying. Michael testified to being healed of leukemia. If you need a physical healing, we'd love to pray for you at the altar. If you're just going through a hellish, difficult time, say, Pastor, I just need someone to speak life and faith over me. Come forward, please let us pray for you. Any other reason you want prayer, please come forward now. We've gone a little long, but we're going to take our time for prayer. The services will just overlap each other. God bless your church. I declare that this is a church of history makers and world shakers. I declare God's great affection, acceptance, adoration, and love upon you. I declare this is your summer of miracles, beloved church. Go change the world and go get ready for surprises in your life. Have an awesome week. I'll be ministering here Wednesday night. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them.